Thank you so much for coming to our session. Welcome to the chaos on 5 o'clock on Saturday night. We hope you'll enjoy this, and let's get started. So the hashtag for this session is hashtag SXChaos. And over the next 35 to 40 minutes, Nikolai and I, will be talking to you about our experiences at Automattic, which is the company that we both work for, which is distributed. And we hope that you'll learn some lessons from it. And there's plenty of...
So there will be plenty of time in the end for questions. So please hold off your questions till the end. Post them on Twitter with a hashtag, and I think we'll answer them all in the end. Whoa.
Wow.
It's okay.
Okay. All right. So, as I mentioned before, my name is Lori McLeese, and I'm the HR lead with Automattic. I joined Automattic about a year and a half ago, and at the time, I was the first HR person, and still the only HR person at the company. And when I joined, we had about 60 employees.
And I'm Nikolai. I've been with Automattic for almost 5 years now. I'm a software developer, and I've seen the company grow from about 15 people to more than 100 now. And to put everything in context, we want to say a couple of words about the company. It's called Automattic because it's founded by Matt Mullenweg, who is also the co-founder of the WordPress open source project. And the company is 100% distributed, and it has been since day one.
So we currently have 103 employees, and we really are distributed. They are all over the world. You'll see here a map that shows where we're located. We're located in 24 different countries, 79 cities, and interestingly enough, that in only 7 cities do we have more than one automatician living and working. And so in most of those, I guess, 72 cities, there's only one automatician living and working there. And we're spread out across 23 U.S. states.
Although we don't have any offices, most of the people don't have a set working time. And apart from any, from some distributed companies, we are not consultants. And most of us actually work together on a single pretty big project, which is WordPress.com.
So one of the words that you'll hear most often during this presentation is P2. And P2 is our main form of communication. It's kind of like a Facebook wall in that you have an area to post, and then people can respond with comments real time. And within Automattic, we have over 120 P2s. These are public to all employees. And they range from product P2s to project P2s to water cooler P2s to special interest P2s.
If you fancy it, it is just a WordPress theme, which is free and open source, and you can get from p2team.com. So now that you have the context, we can get started. Again, we're a distributed company, and one of our biggest problems is that it's really hard to build a community or to gel a team or to build culture or build personal relationships between people. And, you know, culture and community are really important to us as a company.
Mm-hmm. It's actually so important that that's one of the things that we test for when we're looking at potential applicants. So when candidates come to us, before they get hired full-time, they actually go through a trial period of several weeks to a couple of months. And this is a real project. It's something that we need done within the company. They're working with real automaticians. They're expected to communicate on a regular basis with whoever their project manager is within Automattic. as I said, this usually lasts for about several weeks to a couple of months.
And after your trial, you're welcomed at our field guide with this huge message which says, welcome to the chaos. And then,
after you see this, you're expected to do 3 weeks of happiness. This is not a code word. This is, our happiness team is our customer support team. And so every employee, no matter what their position, spends 3 weeks working in customer support. Mm-hmm.
So in these 3 weeks, you learn a ton of stuff. First, you learn a lot about our product, because you have to actually answer real users' questions. But you learn about a product in a very safe environment, because there is always a happiness engineer ready to help you out. And no, this is not a stock photo. This is an actual happiness engineer who is not in the room now, but you can see in the coming days at the WordPress booth at the trade show. Also, during these 3 weeks, you learn a ton about the culture of the company, because you get to read a lot of the communication between people, and you have the time to do that. You also talk to a lot of the people, be it happiness engineers or other people within the company, to which you have questions about a certain user, a ticket. One other thing you learn during this, the 3 weeks is to respect the happiness engineers. Because we really value customer support. It's not in India, and they're not second class employees. We definitely think that respecting your customer support is something which has been instrumental in our success.
Right. And during those 3 weeks of doing customer support, probably the most important thing that you learn is that it is always okay to ask questions. It is always okay to bug people. And that it is always okay and even expected that you over-communicate with the other people in the company. This is interesting, because learning something and being told that this is what you're expected to do is quite different from then actually doing it. Nobody's really used to over-communicating over and over and over again. Probably 85% of our company are kind of quiet developers. And so this is something that we find really important, of how do you get people to really overshare? And one of the ways that we've recently implemented is pairing new employees up with a buddy or a mentor. And so when they first start, they get a mentor. And this is not a technical mentor. It's not someone that's going to evaluate your professional work. This is more like a work buddy. It's someone that you can turn to whenever you see something within the company and you're like, what is that about? Or I don't understand the backstory on that. Or it's something you want to ask, but you don't really want to ask your team lead because you might feel kind of silly asking it. So it's more just like a work friend that you can talk to for, officially it's the first 6 months, but it can last for as long as you want it to.
So at some point, probably with the help of the mentor, you get used to sharing a lot, or you just get used to all this communication. And in Automatic and in these P2s, most of the communication is text-based. And it is inevitable that in text-based communications, there will be misunderstandings. And even though most of the feedback on P2s is usually encouraging and positive, sometimes, of course, there is negative feedback. And negative feedback, both online and over text, can be very hurting.
And so I'd actually like to share my own sad puppy moment about when I first started with Automatic. I was doing my 3 weeks of customer support, and I should mention that unlike pretty much everyone else in our company, I had never used WordPress before joining the company. As I mentioned, I'm the HR lead, and I had not used WordPress. And there I was supporting our customers. And so our second week, my second week into my support rotation, I read a comment on a P2 that basically questioned whether or not I was working full-time because my ticket numbers were so low. And when I read it, I was, gosh, even now, I'm just like, oh, my God. You got to be kidding. I'm trying so hard. And I wasn't sure how to respond. I was like, well, do I write a response back on the P2 so everyone can see it? Or do I, no, because that would escalate it, and that's not what I want to do. So I actually just picked up the phone. I called the person. I was like, you know, I'd really like to understand your perspective. Because here's my perspective. I'm really struggling. And this is probably one of the hardest professional things that I've ever been asked to do. And I feel completely out of my comfort zone. And your comment really hurt. And we were able to talk it out and get a better understanding. And so when we have new employees now that come to me as HR and say, oh, someone posted this on the P2 and I'm not sure how to react, I really encourage people. I'm like, you know, sometimes, even though most of our communication is text-based, you do have to reach out. You have to do that voice-to-voice or the video Skype, or if you happen to be in one of the 7 cities where automaticians live, go face-to-face and get more context and get the understanding behind the comment.
So as we already said, probably the negative feedback is totally unavoidable. But we've come up with a couple of ways to at least mitigate the harm. And there are actually 3. The first one is very simple. Hire the nicest people. Of course, again, this won't limit negative feedback, but it will definitely limit the harmful feedback and the unneeded negative feedback. And the company is full of nice people.
Really, yes.
The second one is just communicate more. Most of the people are not used to text being their primary way of communication. They usually see it as a secondary way of communication, and they're used to knowing the people in person very well when talking to them, let's say, in Skype text. So after some time, you just get used to it. And the more you communicate via text, the more you get used to it, and the easier the communication gets. And the third one, which is again very logical, is to get more face-to-face time. And I have a little story here. A couple of years ago, Noko was our brand new Japanese automatician, and based solely on our online communication, she kind of thought I was a jerk. But we met for a couple of days at WordCamp San Francisco 2008. And at some point, she realized that I'm not such a jerk, and it's mostly my strange sense of humor. And after that, we've been communicating really well. We haven't had any trouble. That's why meeting in person is important. When we meet in person, we tend to build this physical model in our heads, like what is the facial expression, what is the body language of this person, what are the common phrases. And when we go back home, when we talk to somebody online, in our heads, we recollect the same image. And this makes it a lot easier to understand people and to limit misunderstandings. So this is why we try to meet face-to-face sometimes.
Yeah, and that's one of the important things about understanding if you're choosing to work in a distributed environment or choosing to set up a company that's going to be distributed, that it's still important to invest resources in meeting face-to-face. And so the ways that we meet, one of the ways is that we have a grand meetup. And so once a year, all 103 employees, there we are in Budapest last year, we come together. And for a week, we work. And one of the things that we do is that we redistribute ourselves so that we're on temporary teams with people that you normally don't work with, and we're working on small projects that we can launch that week while we're together. One of the other things that we do is we ask each individual to prepare a 5-minute flash talk. And a flash talk is just a quick 5-minute talk on any subject that the person would like to choose. We record these and we put them up on a P2, so that anyone that's not at the meetup or future employees can go back and watch them. And they range on multiple subjects. They can be professional, such as when one of our employees encouraged us to really think different and to get out of our comfort zone and leads to more innovation when we're working. Or we also have people that choose to give more personal flash talks. For example, here we have J-Trip sharing about his dog, Paul. And you'll notice that Paul likes to drive. So here are some of the topics that people have chosen to give flash talks on. And you'll see that it runs the gamut from giving birth to Krav Maga. So that's one of the ways that we encourage people to really build community and get to know each other.
Of course, we use meetup time to get to know each other too. But currently the problem is that we are more than 100 people, and you can't really talk to everybody during this week, or at least you can't get quality time with everybody. So each team in the company has its own meetups. Teams usually meet between 1 and 4 times per year, depending on the team. And we also there do these mini projects, but the goal of these projects is to together during 1 week build and ship something, being in the same room. Also, at these team meetups, we do a lot of brainstorming because this is incredibly hard to do online. So we plan the team strategy for the next couple of months. We design and brainstorm future projects so that we don't have to do this online. Also, the team projects are often in a very cool locations. All the teams choose them themselves. The only limitation is not to be too expensive. Here you can see janitorial team hot air ballooning in Napa, or team social going to Hawaii and doing paragliding.
I think one of the things that makes the meetups work for us is that we don't have a prescribed, this is what you have to do. We really allow the teams the leeway to decide that on their own. We always encourage automaticians to meet face-to-face whenever possible. So we've talked about meetups, but other ways to do that are through things called WordCamps. WordCamps are community-organized WordPress conferences. We encourage our automaticians to speak and volunteer and really be an active part of their local WordCamps. We also encourage them to attend other WordCamps outside of their area. Because this is a good way not only to see each other, but to really be involved with our open source WordPress community.
We usually use the time around WordCamps for some time together too. I'll give you an example. Like two years ago, right before WordCamp Ireland, I, Sherry, and Jane, two colleagues of mine, did a couple of day road trip in Ireland. So we started from Dublin. We went north to Sligo, where we met two more colleagues of ours, part of Team Podaddy. Then we went south to meet Andy Pitling, who was visiting his girlfriend there, and then right before the WordCamp, we went down to Cork to see Donica, who is actually the first automatic employee. And it was a lot of fun, trust me. Another place where we very often meet is at conferences. All the automaticians are encouraged to either speak or attend any conferences. They will help them get better at what they do. I have two examples here. A couple of weeks ago, like 6 or 7 of us were at PHP UK, because a lot of our business is based on the PHP programming language. And a couple of years ago, actually the whole company went to an event, a party in San Francisco, where I, together with a colleague, got robbed 2 blocks away from Market Street. And this was a pretty, truly bonding experience.
Not one that we suggest you replicate, however.
but it totally helps. Another way we can see each other in person is to just visit each other. A lot of the automaticians have an open invitation to colleagues visiting. And during the years, I have visited a bunch of people, some of them twice in totally different places. So this has happened all over the U.S., in Canada, in Ireland, in Sofia, Bulgaria, where I'm from.
And so with these visits, the more time you spend face-to-face, the more time you kind of realize that maybe Nikolai isn't such a jerk after all.
You never know.
And so after spending a couple of days with colleagues, you feel like, I know them better. You don't know them completely, but you get a better sense of who they are, how they communicate. And then you go back to your home office, and you're sitting there communicating online, and we fall back to our online communication. And so when you're sitting there by yourself, sometimes it's harder to feel a part of that larger, bigger community.
So we get back to the P2s as our main way of communication, and I'll show you 2 benefits of using the P2s, which help us actually feel part of something bigger and part of a community. The first one is the transparency. A lot of the decisions in the company have been started, discussed, and made on a P2. And all these P2s are public within the company. So if you like, you can read about both the decisions, what's going on, the whole decision-making process in each of the other teams in the company. Also, you can not only read, but you're allowed to give feedback. You're allowed to post there. So everything is transparent as possible. And if you like it, you can change any part of the company or at least look at it.
And have input to it. And one of the nice things about being so transparent is that, say, if I'm working on a project and I need a piece of knowledge, I can go out and search on any one of the 120 P2s and find that knowledge there. It's not going to hold me up or prevent me from doing my work. Whereas in a lot of companies, you have historical knowledge in someone's head, in someone's email inbox, and that it's not out there and in the public domain.
So the whole culture of oversharing helps a lot of people share their personalities on the P2s. And it helps them really feel, again, part of a community, knowing more about the personal intricacies or personal lives of other people. We encourage this by having a lot of, we call them water cooler P2s, which are on all sorts of topics, like about music, about video games, about fitness. And historically, this has also led to a lot of company memes.
And so our official company meme is the blank and a blank. And this is another way that helps to build community is when you share stories or you share inside jokes among your colleagues or coworkers. So Blank in a Blank got started when, at one of our grand meetups, one of our employees, Hanny, who is rather small, somehow the conversation turned to, well, I bet you can't fit in an oven. And she said, I bet I can. And lo and behold, then we have a picture of Hanny in an oven. It was posted, as things often are, and Blank in a Blank was born. And we encouraged other employees to contribute to that as well. And so far, we have over 50 submissions, which range from the mundane to the very creative. We have very tall J-Trip in a very small box. We also have the premium services team fit into a gondola in New Zealand at one of their team meetups.
After Blank in a Blank, a lot more memes have been born. For example, here is your efforts today disappoint me with Zé. Or we have the meme of putting the WordPress logo in very unexpected places. This is Thorsten's WordPress logo in the Minecraft game.
And then not only memes, but we also have very creative projects that kind of spring up and aren't really related to any open source or WordPress project that we're working on. One of probably the most creative and fun ones, this is Hanny of Oven Fame, who also has quite the propensity to break things. And at WordCamp San Francisco last year, she had met Chelsea and Evan, who are here in our audience today. And they were chatting, and Hanny mentioned something about her fourth laptop that she had broken somehow. And people were kind of like, what? You break? What's happened? And so she continued to tell stories about all the things that she's broken. Laptops, smartphones, refrigerators, cars, just everything. And unbeknownst to her, Evan and Chelsea were listening very carefully and taking notes and asking questions. And a week later, there on the general updates P2 appears, why, Hanny, why? Which was a super creative website from the point of all of the broken electronics and their last words before they died. And we were just, as a company, we were blown away. We were like, wow, this is so creative and so funny. And if you didn't know Chelsea or Evan or Hanny before, you certainly felt like you knew them then. And I would encourage you to check it out. I think it's public? Okay, it's public. whyhannywhy.wordpress.com.
The moral of the story here is that by the culture of over-communication, plus encouraging people to do a lot of non-productive activities, you see, these three people haven't met before in person, like at all before this point. And a week later, something like this is born. This means that by encouraging over-communication and non-productive activities, we managed to build a lot stronger personal connections, because I'm pretty sure these guys will never forget this experience. And we also managed to build a stronger community. And I guess you have got it by now, but we tend to get communication really seriously in the company. And it's even in our company creed, which says, I will communicate as much as possible because it's the oxygen of a distributed company. You can see a lot more about the creed in this post. But here comes this other question. So if you're communicating so much, doesn't this harm productivity? Well, we don't know for sure.
Well, we do know, however, that if we were not to communicate as much, then Automattic would probably fall apart, because that's what we rely on.
So even if it's not 100% productive, and if we can communicate less, it's really important for us to be on the same page with everybody. I'll give a couple of examples. We tend to post all of our time off on the AFKP2, which stands for away from keyboard. And every time you can see if somebody is on vacation or out. Also, when you need something from somebody, which of course you do because you want to make plans, but you tend to communicate really well and very often what you need, how you need it, when you need it, or if you need it at all. And you tend to ping people pretty often about what's going on, just to make sure if everything will be all right.
And so one example of this is that in the United States, we have an open enrollment period for healthcare. It's about a month long. And so during that period, I made posts to our HRP2 about, hey, don't forget, the deadline's coming up. I made posts to our general updates P2. Hey, don't forget, you've got this many days to make decisions. About halfway through, I kind of looked at the list and I was like, hey, there's still quite a few people that haven't done this. So I kind of started stalking people and, you know, hunting them and emailing them, pinging them on Skype, pinging them at RSC, looking on the AFK P2 to see if they were on vacation. And while this might sound like overkill to someone from a more traditional company, it's kind of the way we work. Like, over-communication is definitely the norm within Automattic.
So as you saw, communication takes a lot of our time, but communication can harm productivity in some other ways too, especially if we're talking about mostly text-based communication. Now, text is both slow and very low bandwidth in every meaning of the word. Anytime you need to like brainstorm, or you need to settle an argument, or you need to engage in a deeper discussion, we pretty often tend to hop on Skype voice, or video or hangout or whatever the cool kids are using today. And this way it takes a lot more time, a lot less time, without actually losing the rest of our text-based communication. I have a little story here. So when we were preparing for this presentation, I was in Sofia, which is in Bulgaria. Lori was part of the time in San Francisco, part of the time in Iceland on a team meetup with another team. And instead of all the time going back and forth via like text and editing a presentation, we did probably one or two hour long Skype chats via voice. And we ironed out the rest of the details via just editing a collaborative text document.
And so whether it's text-to-text or voice-to-voice or face-to-face, our productivity as a company is largely defined by how well we communicate. But in addition to company productivity, there's also personal productivity. And having the flexibility to set your own schedule, work your own hours, work from anywhere, can be both very liberating as well as somewhat problematic and challenging.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you about the liberating part. Of course, you don't have a set schedule, so you can party really hard in the evening and wake up at noon. Or you can spend time with your family if you don't have parties to go to. Or you can travel and work from anywhere. Or you don't have to wear pants at work. We, in video chats, everybody is very careful where the camera goes. Also, I have a colleague, Daniel, who very often when he sees a really good snow, he just takes the morning off and goes skiing and works more in the afternoons and evenings.
Some of the challenging aspects of having all of this flexibility is actually not being able to focus. And in our field guide, which is like our online employee handbook that anyone can contribute to, our employees have actually given suggestions about what works for them to help focus when you're in a distributed environment. Sometimes it's as easy as, if you're not focusing, just get up, walk away from your desk, exercise for half an hour, read a book, take a walk. It also is having a designated workspace in your house so that you know, like, this is time to focus and work. We also encourage co-working. Some people really need to get out of the house and to go to another spot in the city, be around other adults, work with other professionals. So Automattic will pay a portion of the co-working space if people would like to take advantage of that. Other suggestions are to use mobile devices for social networking like Facebook and Twitter so that it's not always coming up on your screen, or to perhaps chunk time, like the Pomodoro technique, where you say, okay, I'm going to work on this task for 25 minutes, no phone calls, no Skype, no email, and then after that, take a break, work on another subject. So those are some of the things that people have said that have worked for them. The biggest thing, though, in helping people stay focused is to have them work on something that is challenging and meaningful. Because if you're working on something that you love, you're going to naturally be more focused. You're going to want to work. You're not going to want to do the laundry or take a walk at the beach or walk your dog. And you've heard us talk about a lot of the fun things, about building community and what's going on at Automattic, and you're probably wondering, do they get any work done? We are productive. We have a lot of products, and they're widely popular, and we push releases out every day, so...
So we don't really know if a distributed company will work out for you. We're not sure if it works for anybody. For example, if you're of course in manufacturing, it probably won't work. Probably if you must have this huge headquarters, and if you want to distribute like only half of the company, probably this would create too much tension. Or some people just love too much the office pranks to go distribute it. And we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. So it might work for you, it might not. I mean, we're speaking from our own experience, and you know, who knows? We've never, at Automattic, we've never tried to be a centralized company under one roof, and so it distributed worked for us, because we've had to make it work for us. It's the only thing that we know.
So actually, the only thing we know is that working in a distributing company and the whole distributed model kind of sucks on so many levels. So every one of us sometimes feels lonely, but we don't have a choice. If we want to do the best job in the world, we must find the best people and give them the freedom to work whenever they want, wherever they want, and however they want. And with a ton of communication, with a bunch of nice people, with some common sense, with zero bullshit, and with a huge pile of trust, it doesn't suck so much, even at all.
So now we'd like to open it up for questions. Questions.
Oh.
Oh. Sure. Okay. Oh, no. That's fine. Do you want to share?
Sure. No.
Hello. The current... Me, right?
Oh,
here.
Okay. I'm like, who's talking?
The current curse of my life is meeting paralysis. And I'm wondering if you could speak a little bit about meetings, meeting times, distributed work environments, how that works.
This was very interesting because my prior job that I came from, there were days where I would literally be in meetings from 7 in the morning till 6 at night. Automattic pretty much doesn't. We don't have a lot of meetings. We have a lot of coders that like to have big chunks of time. The exception to that is that probably in the, would say the past 6 months, maybe, our teams have started doing weekly chats, either by Google Hangout, by Skype, just to get a feel of what they're working on. And so we really don't have a lot of meetings, and that's part of our company culture.
Most of the time when you need to discuss something with some group of people, you just post on a P2 and expect them to comment. If it's something, but very rarely you need something with higher bandwidth. Actually, very rarely you need to be in the same room in order to discuss something. In these cases, of course, you hope to Skype, but in our experience, this is pretty rarely.
And it's interesting though, because it is a mindset that you have to get over, because, you know, when I first joined Automattic, I was like, how can they get anything done without any meetings? And now I'm like, how can other people get so much done with all the meetings all the time? But you have to be able to trust that you don't have to meet people face to face to get things done. Come on down.
Hi. I've got two questions. Sorry, you only have to answer one if you want. First is how you deal with recruitment, if you do that via Skype. And second is it actually cost-effective? Because all of these meetups all over the world, paying for people to use co-working space, probably paying for people's high-speed internet access, it just sounds more expensive than putting everyone in an office. So I'm just curious if it is cost-effective for you.
I have no idea whether it's cost effective. As we said, we haven't tried the other way, so we don't know if it would have cost us less. But we don't really care. Because if we are making enough money, it doesn't, as you saw in the previous panel, efficiency is something from the past, kinda. And about your other question about the hiring, well, a main piece of the hiring puzzle is the trial process. This is something which happens before you are hired, and this is like our main test. Instead of interviews, like, we do only one interview, and it is via Skype, and it is via text only, to make sure the person can communicate via text, which is important for us, obviously. And then the trial project shows a lot. It shows how the person communicates in a real life environment, how he tackles work, how he tackles the complexity of the system, like everything. It tells us almost everything we need to judge whether the person will be successful in the company or not.
And I'd like to speak to your first question about the cost and is this really more efficient or not? We actually couldn't afford to have everyone in one place because the talent that we've gotten, we wouldn't be able to pay people to come to one centralized location because either they have family ties, they're working in a community where they have roots, and so it would be a very different company.
Yeah. Great. So first of all, I'm a fan of the whole distributed work thing. I work in a company that's like that. And actually, our job is to help major companies move their workforces into this sort of situation. That's what we do as a business.
Okay.
And one of the big things that they always ask us is, how do you measure performance? How do you know people are really working, and how do you know when they should be promoted or not promoted or canceled or moved out of the company? How do you know that kind of stuff?
So... truthfully, we probably don't know as quickly as if we were in an office altogether. We do have metrics, though. As I mentioned, the majority of our employees are programmers, so we look at commits. We look at, you know, what's been created. We do have team leads, so even though there's 103 of us in the company, we do have smaller groups, and so team leads are checking in to see kind of if someone's gone MIA or not. And then if someone's not producing, then we do. Like, I step in, I talk to the team lead, we talk about how do we want to address it, is it I mean, it's usually not anything that's like, they have to leave right now. I mean, it's you know what, let's talk. And maybe it's simply expectations aren't understood. And so you talk to the person about, hey, let's just make sure we're on the same page. And then if it really is a performance problem, then, you know what, sometimes we let people go.
I truly believe that productivity is largely communication. And most of the time we've had productivity problems, they have been in their roots a communication problem.
How do y'all work through the time zone differences?
Oh, hey!
Hi.
How do we work?
It sucks. Shortly. But for example, it sometimes helps us get more coverage. But most of the time, I agree, it's pretty inconvenient.
It is, but I mean, we literally have people all around the world, and so, you know, sometimes I'll adjust my schedule so that I'm in IRC with, like, the Europeans that I don't really get to talk to as much during the day, or I'll work really late at night so that I'll be able to, you know, chat with our people in, like, India. So, I mean, it just... Yeah, you get used to it. And I have to say that most of our employees kind of work odd hours for their local time. So.
All the freedom to have your own schedule almost always leads to working odd hours, like meeting friends during the day and stuff like this.
Yeah, and probably working more, too.
And working more,
I'm a remote worker, and I know it's like you never turn it off. But, you know, we live in a great mobile world, so you can always be on, but always be off, too. I mean, But I was wondering, you know, with everyone being virtual and obviously not being in the same place at the same time, how do you manage talent development? Do you use some sort of HCM products, like maybe SuccessFactors or something like, you know, something like that?
I'll be very honest. We're not very good at that. We're starting to get better. We've had someone that joined us about a year ago who is working directly with our team leads now to really help. But that's one of the areas that we have not been very good at.
Great. I'll give you my card.
Okay. Thanks.
All this talk about communication, and it sounds like you guys have a really standard way to do that. The over-communication part, that's easy for not having meetings. I worked in Taiwan for a long time, and I kept noticing that, you know, Chinese managers, they might talk to their people like 5 times a day, but only for a couple minutes, as opposed to the Americans might talk once a week for an hour, but it's the same amount of time. So it's the frequency and duration that changes. What do you hear from different cultures? Do you ever have, you know, if you onboard, like, say, 20 people in China or 10 new people from Russia or wherever, how does that impact? Because they might have a different natural frequency and duration of communication. So just over-communicate could means different things to different people.
Definitely. And I would say that one of the things is that we don't really have that mass of, we have 20 Chinese workers with these expectations that... We have a lot of countries that just have one worker in them. And so at least now you get used to the expectations of the company. I think as we grow larger, that could be a potential problem or challenge.
Also, in addition to what Laurie said, I don't think we have a standard way within the company. All the teams are pretty independent. They have very often totally different communication practices. Some of them talk more, some of them talk less, some of them talk a lot. So it's not the same pattern everywhere. And I don't think there has been enough consistency in the methods so that there have been enough consistency in the drawbacks. So, I don't know.
Back here. So, how do you guys manage projects with distributed teams when everyone's working asynchronously to coordinate on tasks, dependencies, that kind of thing? Do you use a particular methodology?
No. Again, every team sometimes does different things. Most of the teams use their P2s a lot because they're pretty nice for asynchronous communication. They're probably not the best tool for project management. And we use, some of the teams use external tools. Some of the teams have made like small changes to the P2 so that it can fit their own style. Some of them use our bug tracking system for our project management system. It depends. We don't have the one automatic way. And we don't have some huge insights to share, I'm sorry.
Yeah. You talked about having a field guide for your remote workers. Hi, I'm over here.
Oh, okay, great, thanks.
Is that something that's an internal HR thing, or is it something you guys publish?
It is published. It's on the web, but it's only open to automatic employees and trials. And one of the things that I love about it is that anyone can contribute to it. So it's not an HR thing. It's if someone sees that we need a page on international travel tips, then they create it and people can add to it. And so it's actually not a P2. It's more of a website.
It's a WordPress installation which looks like and works like a wiki.
But one of the nice things is that everyone in the company can change or edit or contribute to it.
Thanks. Hi. How do you, with all distributed employees, like one individual in a state in the U.S. or an individual in one country in Europe, how do you deal with the employment law and you know, state taxes and all that?
That's a great question.
So I think all of the non-US people are technically contractors.
And
this should explain it all.
Well, and for the US, we actually go through a PEO, a professional employer organization, who co-employs all of our US workers and takes care of payroll and benefits administration, tax filings, reporting requirements. And we're actually, as we're now growing larger and larger, we're actually looking at a similar solution for our international employees. Because, I mean, being a startup is you look at how much risk am I willing to take at any one time, and up until now we felt like we would take that risk. Hi.
Hi, I'm curious, who owns the company? Do you have venture funding, and how do they get their say in?
Okay, sure. So, yes, we have venture funding. There have been two rounds. One of them in very early stage was about $1.5 million. And then 3 years in, we got some like about $23 million. And we're very lucky that our board is understanding and they're really cool people. So they let us do this distributed thing. Does it answer your question? Perfect.
Other questions? Well, thank you so much for coming. Oh, there is another question? Okay, sure.
So you mentioned a trial a couple of times. Yeah. Are the trial employees extended an offer, which is rescindable, or are they just contractors for the trial period? What's the formal offer that they get to start the trial?
That's a great question.
To commit their time to be resigned from their full-time centralized job that they're just about to leave.
No, that's a great question. So our trials are contractors. They're 1099, and most of the time they don't work full-time during their trial. So it's usually 10 to 15 hours a week over the course of several weeks to understand whether or not they have the technical skills and they are a culture fit. And so then if they are successful at the trial, then we extend a bona fide offer of employment. which for the international employees is still a contractor position, but for the U.S. is an employee.
So a lot of the people who are on trial, they do this beside their current job, yeah, only on nights and weekends.
Yeah.
So that they don't have to leave their current job to,
right,
to try automatic out.
Yeah. Sure. We do have a CEO. I wouldn't say he's the traditional command. I mean, he's Tony. Like we have our founder is still active as founder and president, and then our CEO, and then.
And that's it.
Yeah. Well, when you're offered not a trial contract, but a permanent offer, you're granted stock options. Yeah, and they vest over 4 years. Yes.
Have you noticed that you have more P2s than people?
Yes.
Yes. And some
next quest.
Some people. Some people think that's a problem, and other people love it. So, yeah. All right. Well, just both of us want to say thank you so much for coming and listening and your questions. And please take a moment to give us feedback. We'd love to hear what you thought and how we could improve. So thank you. Yeah. Oh. And we're hiring. And we are hiring.
So I'm.
What's your name? No, I'm Lori. It's nice to meet you. I've worked with someone. I'm going to come down to
the I think the difference is part of the organization is centralized.
Yes.
So very much of a disconnect.
Yes, exactly. I totally agree. I've seen a lot of cases like this, and it makes a huge difference. Oh, you are one of those people.
Exactly.
You're not a real.
You're in the club, or you're
out of the club.
I got the guy. I Because I think that's
I'm staffed.